Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, May 16th. Chamber ED says marketing dollars well spent. The story was written by Kim Smith. Tom Mansky, the new Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said he's pleased after his recent deep dive into the Odessa Development Corporation. Mansky recently looked at how much the ODC has spent on incentives since 1997 to get companies to come here, employ workers, and spend capital on new and existing facilities. He also looked at the ODC's contract with the Chamber and how much is spent on marketing efforts during the same time period. He then came up with a dollar-for-dollar return on investment. He believes it may be the first time such an analysis has been done, and he determined the return on investment for incentives paid was $14.21 for every dollar spent, and the return was $69.01 for every dollar spent on the Chamber contract. When it comes to marketing, Mansky said the return on investment was just under $113 for every dollar spent. In looking specifically at incentives, Mansky said Odessa is doing exceptionally well. Quote, some other people in the industry will tell you they'd like to see at least $4 to $5 return on their investment, and if we're getting $14, then I would consider that in the very good realm, if not excellent, end quote. Those numbers are about to skyrocket too, Mansky said. Once Nacero's $7 billion gasoline plant is created, Mansky said the ODC's return on investment when it comes to incentives will increase to $375 per dollar spent. All told, the ODC spent just over $79 million from 1997 to 2021, and the return on investment was $10.61, which Mansky called a really good number. Mansky also discovered that, thanks to the ODC's efforts, 2,221 new jobs were created and 1,123 jobs were retained since 1997, resulting in nearly $143 million in annual payroll, which helps support the area's restaurants, retail stores, etc., he said. Quote, we're probably the roughest critics on ourselves. I would call it satisfactory, Mansky said, of the jobs retained. Quote, I'd like to retain more than that, and it could be more than that. We're just trying to report it the best that we can, what we can find on paper. We certainly want to keep moving that number up. We've got some good projects going. I'd like to see, with that number right there, 1,123, I'd love to see us at 2,000, maybe by 2026, 2027 at the latest, end quote. During last month's ODC meeting, board member David Boutin thanked Mansky for his work. Quote, I think it's important that we do evaluate our success, our performance. Trying to determine a return on investment for our expenses is difficult because you don't know exactly where they're spending their money, how much sales tax is generated, Boutin said. He and fellow board members Chris Cole and Chris Crow urged Mansky to dig even deeper by looking at other communities, including San Angelo, Lubbock, Longview, and Amarillo. On Friday, Mansky said he's been reaching out to other development corporations. Quote, trying to get some of that information out of other organizations is not always an easy thing, getting them to stop and take my phone calls, but I've tried to reach out to a few to get some of that before our next meeting, Mansky said. And looking at the contracts signed over the years, Mansky told the board he discovered mixed results in terms of promises made and promises kept. Quote, there were some projects that didn't meet the requirements, and they didn't get paid, and we had to get money back. But there were also a number of projects that, on their last report, were well above what they had committed to, and they still were paid for what they committed to, but they provided more jobs and more payroll than what they had put into their application, Mansky said. Mansky said he and his staff have begun to go back to companies whose contractual obligations to the ODC have long ago ended to see how they are doing and to see if they can be nurtured and grown even more. The Chamber's economic development team is working on other projects as well. Quote, I examine our processes all the time. We just got a new software program that Lindsay here in our department, she's going back from the beginning of time as far as our projects, and she's putting those things into this program, and it's going to give us better, more useful information, Mansky said. I think if nothing else, we're going to track things better than we've done before, and I'm not saying people didn't track things good before my arrival. We just got better technology at our fingertips that we're willing to incorporate than we had 10 years ago. We've gone out and found some of that, and we're making use of it. End quote. The ODC's next scheduled meeting is 2 p.m. Wednesday. Two PHS students win Dell scholarships. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Two Permian High School students are not only among the top 10, but they are also Dell scholars. Both Drew Kumar Patel and Isabel Garza were accepted into the University of Texas at Austin. Dell scholars at UT Austin receive a $20,000 scholarship over their time in college that can be applied toward their cost of attendance, the Dell Scholars website says. Quote, funds are available to scholarship recipients for up to 6 years to reduce debt and are offered alongside the program's core support services, the site detailed. Nationally, the site said, 500 Dell scholars are selected each year to receive a scholarship, quote, plus lots of non-monetary supports, end quote. The students have to meet certain income, grade, and test score levels to get the scholarship. Garza, age 17, had not settled on where she was going to college as of May 9th. Quote, I thought that it was, like, really exciting for me because it's a lot of money, Garza said. She found out she won the scholarship in March via email, and she was hoping it was real. Her family thought the scholarship was a good opportunity for her. The last few days of school are going well for Garza. Quote, it's just lots of AP exams for college credit, hopefully. So it's less classes I have to take when I decide where I'm going, Garza said. She added that she would advise students who want to try for a Dell scholarship to go for it because it won't hurt them if they don't get it. Quote, but if you do get it, then you're going to see the rewards of it. There's no harm in trying, Garza said. Garza had 4 years of varsity cheer, two of which she was the captain, and 4 years of varsity track. She was also in academic societies and clubs, a member of the junior and senior board, and participated in Ector County ISD's strategic planning process. The junior and senior boards are like another form of student council to help plan things on campus. Junior prom was the big event, and then senior year, you pick the graduation announcements and senior gift to the school, Garza said. Patel, age 18, plans to attend UT Austin and major in neuroscience. Quote, I want to become a neurosurgeon and find better treatments for cancer or cures, Patel said. When he found out about the Dell scholarship, Patel said he thought it was like a normal award. When he got more information, he realized it was going to be very helpful. Quote, I'm lucky to like have gotten it because they offer a lot of help and aid with the counseling, and then they also help with computers, Patel said. Patel said he decided on neuroscience to help fulfill his father's dream. Quote, I wanted to be something that's more impactful in the world. I chose the brain because it's interesting how they do the surgeries, because someone sits down and they open their brain and they give them something that they like and they keep playing it. When they stop, they know that something they did was wrong. When they get back to playing, it's correct and successful, Patel said. Patel said he is doing what no one else in his family has. Quote, I'm grateful that I got a chance to go to UT because in my family, my brother and my family, they didn't get to go to college and accomplish high standards. But my brother became a cybersecurity analyst here, so that was good. I'm basically doing what no one in my family has done, and especially to go to Austin and get the opportunity to do the neuroscience program that is number one in Texas. I feel really grateful for that, Patel said. Permian High School College and Career Advisor Jennifer Perkins said having two students as Dell Scholars is extremely rare. Quote, I believe it's been about 5 years since we've had our last one, so this is a great thing for them and a great thing for Permian and UT Austin, Perkins said. Perkins said the UT Dell Scholarship winners would have to go to UT Austin. If they were regular Dell Scholars, they could take it anywhere. Formula shortage is real. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. One of the things I still find a bit shocking is that even 3 years into the COVID pandemic, we still have empty shelves at the grocery store, but other than the toilet paper shortage at the beginning, it's been more of an inconvenience more than anything else for me personally. But that changed last year when my grandson had to be transitioned over to formula. Then it became a trip down the baby aisle every time I stepped into any store that sells formula to find my grandson's specific brand. Thank goodness he is now old enough that we are transitioning over to milk and toddler formula because, unlike the toilet paper shortage, the formula shortage is getting worse, not better. This week, I thought I would talk a little bit about what is causing the shortage and, more importantly, what you can do if you just cannot find formula for your little one. The primary problem with the formula shortage is the same supply chain issues that we're seeing in everything from cars to groceries. It still awes me that a disease had such a massive collateral damage effect on our economy. Goods that are produced overseas are not being produced reliably, especially in areas that are poorly vaccinated and/or have high rates of COVID. It is because the only option to fight the spread of the disease in the factories in those areas is to shut down, often for weeks on end. But that's not the only problem. Then it's getting the goods here, getting them shipped to factories for final assembly or to distribution centers, and then to your local grocery store. Every step of that process has been affected in some form or fashion by COVID, and even with COVID being less severe and less prevalent, we just can't seem to catch up. But the formula shortage has gotten even worse in the last few weeks because Abbott Nutrition, one of the biggest manufacturers of infant formula in the world, had to halt production in one of their factories because of contamination, which caused infections and deaths in 4 infants in February. They are supposed to be starting up production again soon, but for now, other manufacturers are having to fill that void, and they just can't keep up. The best way to avoid this problem is breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is far superior to formula in pretty much every way imaginable for both mom and baby. Unfortunately, breast milk is just not an option for some moms and babies. There are many reasons for this, from special nutritional needs because of health conditions to things like work environments for the mother. In those cases, formula really is the only other option available for infants. There are also some small children beyond the age of one that have to have formula because of special nutritional needs. For people where formula is the only option to feed their kids, a formula shortage is a huge problem. If you are struggling with the formula shortage, there aren't many options, unfortunately. Experts say to shop frequently at multiple locations and ask friends and family to look for your formula brand as they shop as well. Online retailers often have formula in stock, but make sure you are getting genuine formula with FDA approval in the U.S. Programs like WIC may also have resources for formula outside of the retail market for people who qualify for those programs. There have been many reported fraudulent formulas on the market since this shortage began, and kids have gotten many far-reaching problems from nutritional deficiencies to infections from contamination with fraudulent formulas. Cow's milk is not recommended for babies under year one, but if your child is approaching year one, speak to your pediatrician about the possibility of transitioning them to cow's milk a little early. It might be possible with some additional vitamin supplementation. Toddler formula may also be an option if your baby is close to that year mark, but again, speak to your pediatrician before making the change. For most babies, it's okay to change brands if your usual brand is unavailable. However, if your child is on a very specific type and brand of formula for very specific nutritional needs, please speak to your pediatrician so you can decide on a plan on how to compensate if your brand or formula becomes unavailable. Do not water down formula to make it last longer. It can cause nutritional imbalances that can be dangerous to infants' hearts, kidneys, and brains. Homemade formulas are also not recommended because they often do not meet all the nutritional needs of an infant and they are very susceptible to contamination. Finally, the American Academy of Pediatrics is asking that people not hoard formula, that individuals only purchase a 1 to 2 week supply at a time so everyone possible can get the formula they need for their infant, and so the situation is not worsened by hoarding. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Permian Basin Master Gardeners has scheduled the History of Gardening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today and from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Tuesday at the Midland County Extension Office, 2445 East Highway 80 in Midland. Guest speaker will be John Capodanno. The topic will be on why it matters and how it relates to gardening in West Texas. To select a date to attend or more information, visit tinyurl.com/2p8wjra2. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin Music Department has scheduled a concert in memory of Thomas Hostat at 7 p.m. Tuesday in the Ray Greathouse Hall at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. Visit tinyurl.com/5ersh2b3. Permian Basin Area Health Education Center, AHEC, and Midland College are offering a free seminar, It's Fine, I'm Fine, Everything is Fine, The Need for Recovery Among Healthcare Workers, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Wednesday at Midland College Main Campus, F. Marie Hall Academic Building, Room 101, Midland. Seating is limited. The event is free. However, registration is required. To register or for information, visit tinyurl.com/BDCW7KW8. The Ector County Library will offer anyone in an Ector County zip code a free trial to use Hoopla for a limited time with nothing more than their email address and a device such as a smartphone or tablet. Through July 31st, the service will be available for free for anyone to try with up to 4 checkouts. Items available include e-books, audiobooks, comic books, music, and videos. If you like it, you can then sign up for the more extensive but still free version with a library card. For more information or to check your zip code, call 432-332-0633 or go to ector.lib.tx.us. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is currently raising funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. All donations are 100% tax deductible and benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP, funding research, education, advocacy, and support for those affected by suicide. A ceremony, Out of the Darkness, will take place October 22nd at Memorial Gardens. Registration is 6:45 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. Open ceremony is at 7:30 p.m. To donate or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/2P8A4A2S or tinyurl.com/YYND63P3.
Obituary. Courtney Dwayne Hartman, Odessa, Texas. Courtney Dwayne Hartman was born October 10th, 1978, in his beloved home of Montgomery, Alabama. He was educated by Montgomery Public Schools. Courtney began his professional career at the Alabama Department of Corrections, served as team leader of Hyundai Motor Manufacturing, Alabama, and moved on to showcase his incomparable work ethics as a Level 2 pipeline construction technician across Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma for Versa Integrity Group until his untimely passing in Lee County, New Mexico. Most notably, he loved being a father, spending time with his family. Courtney was unmarried at the time of his passing. Montgomery Mayor Stephen L. Reed issued an official proclamation celebrating Courtney's life and honoring his passing. The family held Courtney's funeral services on May 7th at Maggie Street Missionary Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Pastor Ezekiel Petaway Sr. and Pastor Monty D. Maddox. Courtney's many, many friends and family, including his mother, children, and many aunts, uncles, and cousins, were in attendance. A memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday, May 14th, in Odessa at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Courtney's friends and co-workers in the Permian Basin are invited. Pets of the Week. Photos by Kemper Subia. Daisy, a 1 to 2-year-old tricolor female beagle mix. Shadow, an adult female short-haired black and white cat. Need to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Daisy or one of the many other pets at the Odessa Animal Control, stop by 910 West 42nd Street or call 368-3526. If Daisy has been adopted, there are many other pets that need good homes. Adoption fees for dogs are $80. Adoption fees for cat, $50, which includes spay, neuter, rabies, microchip, and shots. Betsy, a 6-year-old female Cocker Spaniel mix. Nova, a 4-year-old female Siamese, need to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Betsy or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 432-257-4311 or visit odessahumanesociety.org or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa. The Humane Society of Odessa is a non-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contracts, along with an adoption application. Adoption fee for pets start at $75. To help support HSO, donations are welcome at tinyurl.com/279URB4S or tinyurl.com/MUYR5AEY. Donations will go towards kennels, cat houses, and adoption centers. Stone, Concrete, Brick, Add Value to Landscape by Jeff Floyd, certified horticulturist and arborist. When installed properly, stone, concrete, and brick are elements that can add functional value to any landscape. They can be used to indicate roots through a garden, redirect water, or anchor landscape planting with their native surroundings. As is true when deciding which plants to install, landscape features should be carefully designed into the landscape drawing before making any purchases. Regardless of the material selected, these permanent, low-maintenance elements can be incorporated into formal or informal settings. Pathways made of stone, concrete, or brick can direct traffic through the garden while keeping feet clean and dry. Large stones set above smaller gravel can cause visitors to slow their movement through the garden and direct their attention to a particular focal point or area of interest. Winding paths with large stones, insects at the same level as a bed of smaller ones, will invite visitors to spend up their space to discover what they might be hidden around the corner. Hardscape material can be an excellent problem solver in areas that receive too little light or grow plants. A brick setting area under a tree will eliminate the struggle to get grass growing, while providing a cooling spot for guests to reflect at the end of a long day. Freshly poured concrete can be stained and stamped with patterns that resemble stones or brick. This is a cost-effective method of creating a luxurious and stylish look. Concrete may also be poured into individual molds that resemble stone. This allows greater freedom for design to develop pathways of what appear to be separate stepping stones. While designers may adhere to broad concepts when planning a landscape, there is an endless range of artistic license that can be used to meet individual needs. Through careful planning, homeowners are generally capable of developing a design they can be proud of that is both functional and aesthetic. By properly considering plant size, shape, texture, color, and incorporation of hardship materials, homeowners can create beautiful landscapes. PBS's Judy Woodruff plans to step down as NewsHour anchor, the Associated Press. Washington. Judy Woodruff says she'll be stepping down as anchor of the PBS's nightly NewsHour program at the end of the year. Woodruff, 75, said she will report longer pieces for NewsHour and do other projects and specials for public television at least through the 2024 presidential election. She was part of the NewsHour rotating anchor team for 2009 until 2013, when she and Gwen Ifill were named co-anchors of the program. Since Ifill's death in 2016, Woodruff has been the show's sole anchor. "I love working at PBS NewsHour and can't imagine it not being part of my life," Woodruff said in a memo to fellow staff members. She was chief Washington correspondent at NewsHour from 1983 to 1993 and has also worked at CNN, NBC News. Plans for her replacement will be announced in the fall, a PBS spokesman said Saturday. Partnership brings legends and lore, markers to Lone Star State. Thanks to a new partnership between the Texas Folklore Society and William G. Pomeroy Foundation, Texas communities can now highlight their stories, customs, and traditions through a roadside marker grant program named Legends and Lore. Launched by the Pomeroy Foundation in 2015, the Legends and Lore grant helps communities commemorate their local folklore and legends and promote cultural tourism with roadside markers. The Texas Folklore Society, which collects, preserves, and shares the practices and customs of the people of Texas and the Southwest, has joined the grant program as a state partner of the Pomeroy Foundation. The society will help vet grant applications and ensure the legitimacy of the folklore proposed for commemoration. The Texas Folklore Society is thrilled to partner with the Pomeroy Foundation on this program. With Kristen Downs, Secretary Editor and the Executive Director of the Texas Folklore Society, as a large and diverse state, Texas has an especially rich and varied folk culture. The Legends and Lore program will enable local communities to celebrate and showcase their traditions. The Pomeroy Foundation is a philanthropic organization based in Syracuse, New York. One of the foundation's main incentives is to help people celebrate their community's history by providing grants for roadside markers. Since 2005, the foundation was awarded over 1,700 grants for markers and bronze plaques in 45 states. We were delighted to welcome the Texas Folklore Society among the Pomeroy Foundation's incredible legendary and lore partners in a growing number of states, said Denry Pomeroy, trustee and director of the strategic initiatives at the Pomeroy Foundation. This is an exciting opportunity to highlight the Lone Star State's folklore and legends with roadside markers. We look forward to working with the Society to further recognize and put the spotlight on the diverse landscape of folk and traditional art in Texas. More than 140 Legends and Lore Markers grants have been awarded by the Pomeroy Foundation since the program's inception. In addition to Texas, Legends and Lore grants are currently available in the following states: Alabama, Connecticut, Idaho, Louisiana, Missouri, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, West Virginia. Prospective applicants must apply through a local 501c3 organization, such as a historical society, nonprofit, academic institution, or a local state or federal government entity. The current Legends and Lore grant application deadline is Monday, May 2nd. Legends and Lore grant funding includes the full cost of the marker pole and shipping. To review program guidelines and details about how to apply online, visit the Foundation's website, wgpfoundation.org/history/legends-lore. Two Legends and Lore grant rounds are held each year. The second Legends and Lore grant round in 2022 will open on August 29th. The deadline to submit a marker grant application during the round will be October 17th. The Texas Folklore Society collects, preserves, and shares the practices and customs of the people of Texas and the Southwest. The Society is the second oldest folklore organization continually functioning in the United States, second only to the American Folklore Society, founded in 1888, chartered in 1909. The Society held its first meeting on the campus of the University of Texas in 1911. The Society has stimulated the record and study of the rich folk culture of Texas and the Southwest, has attracted both laymen and scholars, and has distributed its publications throughout America and the world. To learn more about the Pomeroy Foundation, visit wgpfoundation.org.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.